Let us pray. Heavenly God, as your word is read and heard and preached, let it be a light unto our feet and a guide unto our path. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture this morning is Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 through 7, and then 15 through 17. Let us hear the word of God. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Abram fell face down, and God said to him, As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. You will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. God also said to Abraham, As for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her. Abraham fell face down and he laughed. And he said to himself, Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I invite you to continue to come up to the response stations as you're called to during the sermon. And as of the sermon, I'm going to talk about how God affirms the covenant with Abraham. And he affirms it with wordplay. You will no longer be called Abram. That is exalted father, Abram. And that's a title a man of any age and of any certain wisdom and any certain standing can be called father. For instance, Mr. Lincoln was Father Abraham during the Civil War. Now you are Abraham, the Lord God says, the father of multitudes. There's no vagueness in this covenant anymore. I am God, and now you and your offspring, you right now, and your offspring then forever will be more numerous than the stars in heavens. There will be more offspring from you than there are grain of sands on the earth. You are my child, and your people will be my people forever and ever. Quite a promise, and quite ridiculous. We laugh at the absurd. We laugh at when ordinary events don't go according to plan. That's why America's Funniest Home Video has been around since 1989. Yeah, we're videoing our kids, our pets, our loved ones as they're doing something worth remembering. And then something goes awry. Craziness happens. We laugh, and boom, $10,000 later. Abraham cannot help but laugh at God's promises here. It is downright silly. Abraham is 100 years old. Sarah is 90 years old. Their time for having children has passed. Their time for having grandchildren has passed. God's covenant promise is absurd. A couple of chapters later, as we read at the beginning of service, Sarah hoots at God's promises. In Genesis 18, three visitors come to visit. And these three visitors are depicted in our beautiful Russia table icon. The three visitors traditionally are Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Lord God. Give you back that down for safekeeping. Sarah serves them supper, and then she goes and returns to her tent. While she's in her tent, she hears the promise of a child to her repeated by the Lord, and she hoots. Now, as I Googled it this week, the depictions were, she is laughing out loud, LOL, laughing out loud. And then she gets scared. Uh-oh, maybe I shouldn't have laughed. And so she denies doing it. And then you have to take it as a great comic turn. The Lord says, oh, yes, you did laugh. Oh, yes, you did. And I don't think this is a rebuke. I think the Lord is saying it is okay to laugh. Go ahead. This is funny, but it's also true. This is true. God promises Abraham and Sarah that they will have a son and that their son is our future and our future is our forever hope. God's word can be trusted. As Christy told the kids, God keeps his promises. It will happen no matter how funny it seems right now. God promises now this is going to happen for future generations. I think the Lord is saying, okay, Sarah, go ahead and laugh now. And I know your laugh has an edge to it. I know that. But you're going to laugh again later. And next time it's going to be with great joy. You will laugh heartily when you realize nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. And you know the story. Sarah conceives and the promised son is born. In Genesis 21:6 tells us, now Sarah said, God has brought laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me. Sarah, of course, names her son Isaac, which literally means laughter. God has kept his ridiculous promise and given a future that they could not once imagine. It is absurd, and it is okay to laugh. Think about this absurdity. God Almighty, God of the angel armies, who is indescribable, uncontainable, awesome, the one to whom we must fall on our knees, comes as a little baby. It's crazy. And this little baby takes the sins of the world on his shoulders and forgives us of these sins. It's nuts. For once we had no hope, now we have hope. Once we were not a people, now we are God's people through a baby, life through ridiculousness. This is embodied in the story of Jairus' daughter. You know the story. The temple leader, Jairus, comes running up to Jesus and says, Lord, my daughter is ill. Please come now. And Jesus drops everything, and they rush to the girl's house. And as they get there, they are informed the child is dead. No euphemism. No, oh, she's passed. She's dead. It's final. Go home. Don't bother the teacher anymore. And Jesus says, oh, no, she's not dead. Don't relax. She's just asleep. And all the grief, all the pain, all the concern hit the mourners all at once. And they laugh at Jesus. Laugh at him. Not with him. At him. And Jesus ignores the laughter. It's so great. Talitha kum. Little girl, get up. Now your parents, your children, think about how you are crying at this moment and you are laughing at this moment and you're embracing at this moment. It is okay to laugh because Jesus has given us the power to laugh at the last enemy, who is death. Oh, death, where is thy victory? Oh, death, where is thy sting? We can laugh. Because we mourn with those who have, like those who have hope. When my wife Kim and I do memorial services and funeral services, we encourage stories and laughter. Not because we think poorly of those who have gone, but because we love them. And we mourn with laughter and joy and storytelling. Yes, we miss them, absolutely. But we can laugh at that last enemy, who is death. Just last week, I said, we are living in a dark time in the history of our nation. We have deep-seated anxiety. We've seen it all week in news. We have times of deep anger. We have times when we just cry. We just weep. But it's okay to laugh, because if we didn't, one of my greatest heroes ever is Father Abraham, Abraham Lincoln. He was a man who could fall into deep, deep melancholy. In 1862, he and his wife lost their beloved 12-year-old son, Willie. Lincoln was commander-in-chief who ordered literally hundreds of thousands of soldiers into battle. Dark time in our nation's history. There always seems to be dark times. Mr. Lincoln knew it was okay to laugh, because if we don't. Election night, November 8th, 1864, Lincoln's re-election was not assured. It was up in the air. And if he loses, we don't want to even consider what would happen. So Lincoln goes to the telegraph office in the War Department to wait for the election results. And with him is Secretary of War Edwin Stanton and some other friends and aides. And Lincoln just about drove the somber Stanton crazy, because Lincoln sat there and read a book by a humorist reading out loud. And he's guffawing every couple of minutes. He's having a great time. And he keeps slapping his own knee, and then he reaches across and slaps Stanton's irritable knee. Stanton finally had to leave. He couldn't take it anymore. But Lincoln knew it was okay to laugh. Lincoln knew if we don't have a sense of humor, if we don't have a sense of God in our humor, all may be lost. I think Lincoln knows the covenant. I will be your God. And that gives him the ability to say in his second inaugural address, 2 years after he lost his son, 2 years, he says, with malice toward none and with charity for all, with firmness in the right, as God gives us to see the right, let us strive to finish the work we are in, to bind up the nation's wounds, to do all which may achieve and cherish a just and lasting peace among ourselves and with all nations. It is okay to laugh. It is okay to enjoy. It is okay to laugh and enjoy during worship. In my second year in seminary, we were in assigned seats, and I had to sit with the tenors. And I sat next to Randy Ricciardo. No kidding, that was his name, Randy Ricciardo, Big Ran. And Big Ran thought he knew every sacred song by heart, would not look at a book, would not look at a screen. And he would start singing away, and he'd be great the first line or two. Then he'd give me this wry look and start making up the words as he went along. And I would pick up a hymnal and jam it into his considerable belly, tell him the number. He would look at me, and we would both laugh. Every day in worship for a year, it's okay to laugh. It's okay to enjoy. Church, faith, worship, following Jesus, when it seems that we are in the dark times, does not have to be dour work. It can be joy. It can be fun. Wednesday night here at church, starting at 6 o'clock, we are going to have fun in community night. It is for all ages. It is for the young families with kids. It is for young adults, teens, middle-agers, olders, folks who live in a big family, folks who live alone. Come. There's going to be a lot of laughing. And we will experience the joy of Jesus together. We're going to be doing a lot of laughing. And part of it, backed by popular demand, are the bounce balls. These balls are beach balls that we toss to each other, Dan. Barb. Chuck. Mark. Throw them to each other. And underneath each of them, in your left hand, whoa! Underneath, like, is something to say, something to do. Throw it, Chuck. What's underneath your left thumb? I don't like that one. I'm going to go with this one. If you could have dinner with anybody in the world, living or dead, who would you pick? Mr. Lincoln. That's easy. While you're bouncing those, I'm going to tell you more about God's sense of humor. Psalm 2:4, God who sits in the heavens laughs. Psalm 59:8, I have to keep looking up to make sure they're not coming at me. Psalm 59:8, you, O Lord, laugh. All week long, I've been pondering. Whoa, that's a good one, Aiden. All week long, I've been pondering laughter. And I keep imagining God laughing at me. During Mr. Lincoln's second inaugural address, he said pointedly, the Almighty has his own purposes. God has plans for my life. God has plans for our church, our country, and our world. But I have so many good plans. I'm a swell planner. I have plans for our church, my life, our family. And it seems the more I plan, the less things go according to my plan. And the more God must be laughing. The more details my scheme becomes, the harder God must laugh at me. The Bible doesn't say, Steve, you know the plans God has for you. When and where they have plans for you. The Bible says, surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare, not for harm, to give you a future with hope. This is what Christy was talking about. Sometimes we don't understand God's plans. We don't see God's plans. We can't figure out God's timing. And we trust in the Lord. The Lord will bring that cool cup of water, and it might be through Gabriel. It might be a miracle. Or it might be you have to lean down and lap up water out of a stream. Our plans, much of the time, don't follow God's plans. Or if they do, we don't see how God's going to follow them. It's like they're written in Sanskrit. When we feel beaten up, God is faithful still. When we feel that we don't know what's going to happen next in our world, when we, with fear and trepidation, we turn on that television in the morning to see the news or go to our computer, we know that God keeps his promises. God's word can be trusted. God says, this is my everlasting covenant to you. I will be your God. You will be my people. This is my everlasting promise, my covenant. We got to believe it. That's our name. We have to believe it. God's promises are God's works for us right now, God's plans for us right now. We have a future. We have a heavenly future. That is God's promise. God is with us right now in the here and now. That is God's promise. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. To give you a future with hope. In all things, in all ways, God restores our fortunes, not just in the heavenly future, but in the here and now as well. There are times and seasons that it does feel like it's Greek to me. We don't understand God's promises. Promises for a future, for a hope, for good fortune seem to taunt us. And so we laugh. Or we attempted to laugh like Abraham did, like Sarah did in the tent. And God says, wait a minute, just wait. Just wait a minute. Soon and very soon, you are not going to be laughing derisively, but you will be laughing with joy. God promises us joy. God keeps his promises, and God's word can be trusted. Amen.